Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut is a man who keeps his word. When he was a congressman, he was on the congressional corner. I asked him. He said, no, he would come back. And yes, you have, Senator Chris Murphy. We have nothing but respect for a man who keeps his word. Thank you.
I spend more time with you than with my family, so I've more than kept my word.
So I guess the first question is, did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I had a great Thanksgiving. It's a very busy time for us. My father started a Thanksgiving Saturday football game 56 years ago, and it's now my responsibility to organize it. And we had about 60 to 70 of our closest friends and family over to the house on Saturday to play the 56th edition. And my son, 5 years old, was out there, and my father, 70 years old, was out there on the playing field. So I can't ask for anything more than that.
No, no, you can't. I don't approve of football, but that's another whole story. You know, these people
touch football.
Yeah. So there you are. That was my first question. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving? My second question is, are you running for president?
I'm not. I think it's nice that I'm on some of these lists, this is an amazing job, getting to represent Connecticut, a state that I grew up in that's meant so much to me, and there's just an enormous amount of impact you can have as a senator. And so I've got a re-election that I've got to work on, which is 2018, but I'm not planning on running for president.
Let me put it this way. I think you're terrific, and I think everything you say and do is terrific. So I want you to run for president. Do you get that?
I've gotten the hints over the years, but I got a pretty good job.
Yes, you do. Let's start with net neutrality. This is a concept a lot of people don't understand. Is it important?
I mean, it's truly important. You're right that it doesn't, get a lot of water cooler conversation around Connecticut and New York. But, the reality is that we've kind of gotten used to turning on our computers and having open access to the entire Internet, not having to, worry about which websites are paying what amount of money. It means that, when we click on to Netflix, we're getting it at the same speed as, our neighbor's blog about hunting and fishing. And if net neutrality goes away, as the Trump administration wants, then those days are over. Then all of a sudden, the big companies are going to be able to pay to get the fast internet delivered to your house. And the little startup internet companies or your neighbor's blog all of a sudden will be on the slower pathway. And, that'll create a real uneven playing field that has, I think, real implications for the way in which we exist online and free speech.
Do you have any sense at all what is motivating the Trump people to do this? After all, they ran for office on the basis that they were for the little guys, and this doesn't sound like it's the little guys at all.
Yeah, listen, I think everything this administration has done has been for the sort of vested corporate interests that have their hooks into this White House. The tax bill is written for rich people and corporations. The health care bill was written to help out the big health care companies, not people who are struggling to get insurance. And the big players in the internet world don't like net neutrality because the big internet companies want to do deals with the big content providers to monopolize the internet so that everybody else can't exist. Getting rid of net neutrality, that'll be good for the big players that have the money to pay. It won't be good for anybody else online.
Senator Chris Murphy, let's go to the very tax program you mentioned. It seems like the big ugly. One day we hear this is coming in. One day we hear something else is coming in. What do you think the idea is behind this thing? And, my own sense without monopolizing in the conversation is they need a win and they'll do almost anything to get a win and it won't much matter what's in it.
Yeah, you're kind of stealing my take. I mean, that's exactly how I put it. I think they've convinced themselves that their really bad election results, especially this November was due to the fact that they hadn't passed anything. Now, that's a total misread. The fact of the matter is that it's about a very unpopular president and a very unpopular agenda. And frankly, Americans want less of their agenda, not more of it. The tax bill is designed to get 50 votes in the Senate and no more. So the way they did that was basically taking money from every state represented by Democrats and shifting it to states represented by Republicans. That means that they decided to take away the tax deductibility of income taxes and property taxes, things that we pay a lot of in New York and Connecticut. Ultimately, we're not going to see a tax cut for a lot of our middle-class consumers in Connecticut and New York. We're actually going to see a pretty big tax increase. And I don't know whether it has votes to pass yet, but it is a political document. It's not good policy. None of it is good policy.
And do you think that there is still some stuff they put in there just so they could take it out in order to get a few extra votes? I mean, when you're talking about deductibility of state and local taxes, or when you're talking about the health care bill, which they're trying again to put into that thing, is the idea to load it up and then to say, okay, we'll take this out in order to get a victory?
I've stopped trying to understand their strategy. I mean, they have been, Republicans have been pretty miserable at running the legislative process for the first 11 months, so I don't want to give them more credit than they deserve. You're right to remind listeners that, they really made this a health care bill because they chose to repeal the individual mandate. And what CBO says is that that will result in premiums going up by about 10% a year. That means by year 7, your premiums will have doubled simply because of the action they took in this bill. And that is an interesting date because year 7 is when the tax cuts for the middle class, to the extent they exist, go away. So the tax cuts,
but not the corporate, but not the corporate.
Corporate tax cuts stick around. The estate tax cut that nobody pays, except for a handful of Americans, sticks around. But in year 7, your premiums, your health care premiums, will have doubled because of this bill, and you will have no tax cut. That's a pretty terrible deal. But if you're a corporation, you'll be paying a lot less. And if you're a multi-gazillionaire, you won't have to pay any estate tax when you hand it off to your very wealthy heirs.
So here's the big question, Senator Chris Murphy. Does it or doesn't it pass?
I think it's truly a 50-50 endeavor. I mean, they have a real hard time getting to 50 votes in the Senate because, it's – by the way, we didn't mention that it also – puts $2.2 trillion onto the debt. It's not paid for. It just runs up the debt. So you've got Republican senators that are worried about the debt. You've got Republican senators that are worried about the explosion in health care costs. You've got Republican senators that think that it is too heavily oriented towards rich people and the corporations. And you only need 3 Republican senators to say no to the thing. The tragedy is they should have just come to Democrats because there actually is a decent amount of agreement on taxes. I'm for a lower corporate tax rate, but I think that it should be done in a way that gets rid of the very complicated deductions and credits and offsets in the corporate tax code. But that's not what we're doing. We're unfortunately looking at another partisan endeavor.
Now, I only got a minute here, Chris, in this segment, but I wanted to ask you, I have a colleague who keeps maintaining that the parliamentarian in the House has to rule that the 2 House bill won't add more than 1.5 million on, and if they violate that, the parliamentarian won't let them. Who is this parliamentarian?
Well, the Senate parliamentarian, does, apply the rules of the Senate. And under these rules, they can't have more than $1.5 trillion of new deficits in this tax bill. Now, why on earth do they have a dollar of new deficits? I thought Republicans were the anti-deficit party. The parliamentarian does have to rule that it's not going to be more than $1.5 trillion in deficits. And it's unclear whether she'll do that yet. We still haven't seen the final bill from Republicans, but that's a lot of money to put on your kid's credit card. I mean, for the party that's supposed to be fiscally responsible, $1.5 trillion of additional deficits over 10 years, that's a lot of money.
I said billion, I meant trillion. You are so right. Chris Murphy, you are terrific. And we'll be back the next time. I'll ask you about, North Korea.